If you would this morning, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Thank you for your prayers last week as we preached at Randolph Street. The Lord was very gracious to us. We were well received. They celebrate their 100th anniversary today. And it was 44 years ago this month that I was ordained out of Randolph Street Baptist Church in Charleston. And I shared that with them last week, and I told them many of the blessings that we received from that church, but one of them was meeting Tom Wells at a conference at Randolph Street. And remember, Tom told me, "Mike, find a group of people to grow old with." By God's grace, we've been able to do that. And like I told them, I just didn't know the growing old part would happen so fast. And it really has. But thank you for your prayers. And they send their greetings to you all today. I have not forgotten where we were 2 weeks ago, the last time I preached. We were in Romans 8, beginning at verses 18 through 39. So it's not a mistake that we're going to be looking at Romans 5. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word, that you speak now through your word, as your spirit, as the Spirit of God takes the word of God and speaks to and forms the people of God. So we ask this morning that you would speak to us through your word. You would give us receptive ears. You would give us receptive hearts. Lord, you would give us minds that can comprehend just a little bit more of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will give you all the praise. We will give you all the glory. As we pray in the name of Jesus, amen. We're reading from Romans chapter 5 because today is Reformation Sunday. We celebrate on the 34th, well, Tuesday, we will celebrate Martin Luther posting his 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg, which was kind of like a bulletin board in the community. It was the internet and the social media of the day. Many of Luther's students, or some of them, copied the 95 Theses and started, as students are wont to do, much more enthusiastic than the professors, began to stir, which led the Protestant Reformation and the rediscovery of the gospel. Gospel was never lost during the Dark Ages. There were still groups, pockets of people who preached salvation by grace alone. But by God's grace, there was an explosion of light brought through the Reformation. So let's begin reading in Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Let us hear God's word. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. May God add His own blessing to the reading of His word this morning. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 39 are bookends. They form the bookends of the unit of these chapters. They give to us, well, let me quote Luther again, since it is Reformation Sunday. Of this section of Romans 5, verses 1 to 11, Martin Luther, in his commentary to Romans, writes, "In the whole Bible, there is hardly another chapter which can equal this triumphant text." This is a text of encouragement, a text of hope. Romans 5, 1 to 11 gives us the foundation of our hope. It gives us the foundation. And again, when we come to Romans 8, from 18 on, it's speaking of the hope of creation. It's speaking of the hope of believers and looking forward to that day of consummation. As creation, we'll see, is longing and groaning, looking forward to the revealing of the sons of God. What's going to happen to us in the future? So we have the foundation of our hope. And the biblical truth of justification, that we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, revealed in the Word of God alone, to the glory of God alone. It's never about us. It's about the glory of God. So this morning we want to consider what it means to live in hope. And to ask ourselves as professing Christians, am I living in hope? Does my life reflect the hope that is being described in these words, these verses, of one who has been justified? These, beginning in chapter 5, the word, verse 1, begins with therefore. Therefore, so Paul is referring to, now bringing to a conclusion, applying everything that has gone before from chapters, beginning of chapter 1. Where in chapters 1 and 2 of Romans, what do we find? We find the need for justification. We've rebelled, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, you're under God's wrath. Chapter 3 tells us the way of justification. Beginning at verse 21 of chapter 3. But now. Boy, these are great words. But now. We've had the need of justification through that classic passage of Romans chapter 3. There's none righteous, beginning at verse 10. Not even one. There's none who does good. There's none who understand. There's none who see. We need justification. Verse 21 says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. They were pointing forward to it. Everything in the law, everything in the old covenant, everything written by the prophets, were looking forward to this righteousness that was coming in the future to them. This is why Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them, for they pointed to me. They were about me. Even the righteousness of God, back to Romans 3, 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of those, whether you're Jew or Gentile, who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then in chapter 4, he demonstrates, he illustrates what justification by faith means apart from the law. When I say apart from the law, we are not justified, we are not made right with God by anything we do. Not by keeping the Mosaic law, or not by keeping any other law. And he demonstrates that in chapter 4, first of all, by using Abraham. Look at verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about before God. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you this glorious promise. But I'm going to need your help to fulfill it. That's not what he says. Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. That's the verb form of the noun faith. Abraham believed God. And it was credited to him. It was accounted to him. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's what we need. We don't have righteousness. We are born ungodly. We are born unrighteous. We need a righteousness. And Abraham received righteousness, had righteousness accounted to him through faith, not through his works. Down at verse 6, Abraham's a pretty big guy in Jewish history. I guess you understand that. the father of the nation of Israel. Well, David also is a pretty big official in Jewish history. Look at verse 6. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Abraham exists some 430 years before Mosaic Law was ever given. David exists under Mosaic Law, but when David sinned by committing adultery, by committing premeditated murder, the sin of the high hand for which there was no sacrifice for, which the law demanded death. Even if you're the king of Israel, the law demands death. And David speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works, apart from law, apart from doing something. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. How can a holy God not take our sin into account? Because he can look at the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ dying upon the cross of Calvary. And the perfect life of Christ is now credited. We are wrapped. We are enveloped. We are folded into the righteousness of Christ. We are placed in Christ. He lived a perfect life, which made him the perfect sacrifice, which enabled, again, though he died, to be resurrected, having fulfilled all the demands of the law. So the law has nothing to offer us. Law keeping cannot save us, and law keeping cannot sanctify us. It's all of grace, by grace through faith. I wanted to read this last week and I didn't get to it. It's a quote from John Bunyan. Kids are going through Pilgrim's Progress right now, back in the Sunday school class. This is John Bunyan speaking to Mosaic Law. Quote, we must not allow the law to lay hold of our conscience. The idea of having to do something I can accomplish, something I can do to earn or merit salvation. Or if I try harder to keep the law, I can become more conformed to the image of Jesus. But must instead shut it out with a promise of grace. I must not allow the law to lay hold of my conscience, but must indeed shut it out with a promise of grace, and cry that the inn is full. There's no room for the law because Jesus occupies the inn completely. Jesus occupies my life. Jesus occupies my conscience. Jesus occupies my mind completely. Bunyan goes on, indeed, if it, the law, will be content with being my informer. Yeah, we can go look at the Ten Commandments and say, yeah, I mean, I shouldn't covet, and it's wrong to commit murder if you still need someone to tell you that. Commit adultery. If it will inform me, as all of the scriptures are inspired and is profitable for instruction and teaching, if it will inform me, yes. And so lovingly leave off to judge me, I will be content, and it shall be in my sight. I will also delight therein, but otherwise, I, being now made upright without it, and that too with that righteousness which this law speaks well of and approveth. It was the law who bore witness to Christ, the righteousness that was coming. Bunyan goes on to say, I may not, will not, cannot, dare make it my Savior and Judge, nor suffer it to set up its government in my conscience. For by so doing, I fall from grace, and Christ Jesus doth profit me nothing. For by grace are we saved through faith. Faith alone. We have in these verses the doctrine of justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, Spirit-given faith, in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been declared not guilty. We haven't been declared innocent. We've been declared not guilty. We are guilty, hell-deserving sinners the moment we are declared just before a holy God. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever think that we can get past that. This morning, without the grace of God, without the righteousness of Christ covering us, every one of us would be cast into hell instantly. We deserve the wrath of God. But by grace through faith, we have come to see that we've had a substitute take that wrath, die in our place. We have been declared not guilty because Jesus Christ was declared guilty on the cross of Calvary and bore our penalty. Just declared justified. We can never be more justified than we were the moment we first came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not growing in your justification. We are growing in our sanctification, which is to be set apart to Christ. But we have been declared just in Christ. That's a legal term. That's the judge in the courtroom saying, not guilty. You will never, ever stand accountable for any one of your sins. Christ paid it all. That's legal language. When we come to sanctification, we're talking about relationship language. We're talking about our ongoing growing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. All flowing from justification, joined to justification. They're not the same thing, but they can never be separated. Anybody who is justified is being sanctified unto the Lord Jesus. And anyone that's being conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ in relationship, you're justified. It wouldn't be happening if you weren't. So these verses give us seven benefits. Seven benefits that flow from being justified by grace through faith alone in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven things that is true in the life of every child of God. Therefore, having been justified, we, those in Christ, whether you're Jew or Gentile, black or white, green or yellow, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Those who by faith have come to see in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been forgiven of every past sin, every present sin, and every future sin. I've been forgiven. I've been acquitted once for all. Not in stages, not based upon what I do or what I don't do, but based completely upon what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Not by any of my works, not by any of my efforts, not by any of my intention. Solely by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have peace with God. There was a time when we didn't have peace with God. There was a time when we were under His wrath, under His judgment. But by the work of the Holy Spirit revealing to us who Jesus Christ is and who we are in Christ, we see ourselves as forgiven, as acquitted. And now we see ourselves. We have peace with God. This is objective peace. It's not about feelings. This is an objective truth. We have peace with God. It will lead to a subjective peace. But we are now blameless. There is nothing that the triune God has against us. Philippians 4:7 speaks of the subjective peace and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The subjective peace kind of fluctuates. But we must understand as justified sinners, God is not mad at us. Christian, this morning, if you've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can never be upset with you. Can never be mad at you. Can never be out to get you. He's not mad at you this morning. No matter what's happening in your life, as far as pain and sorrows, trials, He's not mad. He can't. He's at peace. We have been reconciled, as we read a couple of times. And it's pretty obvious we're not going to get there this morning. But, you know, all last week, the week before when I was preparing for last week's message at Randolph Street, Barbie kept saying, "Now remember, you don't have next week to finish it." We have next week to finish it. He is our Father. The triune God is our Father. And don't give me this story. But see, I had such a bad father growing up. I can't accept him as Father. I can't understand him as Father. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. We cry, Abba, Father. If we can't cry, Abba, Father, we're not indwelt with the Spirit. Nobody in this room had a perfect father. Nobody. Nobody in this room was a perfect father. is a perfect Father. But thank God for His grace that can overcome all of that. When He reveals the glory of the triune God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see Jesus and you'll look at your Father a lot differently than you did in the past. You will look at your life a lot differently than you did in the past. That's the first benefit of the therefore having been justified by faith. We have peace with God. You'll never know. You'll never have that peace if you're still thinking you're contributing, you're doing something, you're earning something. It's all of grace. That's what we celebrate today on Reformation Day. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Maybe we have time for one more. Verse 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through. You know what? Just as a little study, go through these verses and just underline the word through. 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 It never says through your works. It never says through your efforts. It doesn't say through your goodness. It doesn't say through your intentions. We are justified. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2. Through whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. That's the third one. The second one is, we have received through Christ our introduction and standing in grace. Introduction. Some of your Bibles, some of your translations might have access. Through Him we have access into the grace in which we stand. These are two what's known as perfect tense verbs. These are two things that have happened completely, happened in the past, that has an ongoing effect forever. Something has happened. We have had introduction. We now stand. A completed action with an ongoing effect. Well, what's this introduction? What does it mean, access? This word is only used two other times in Scripture. One of them is in Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 18. You know, I'm really scared to death every time I do this now. Ephesians chapter 2, 18. Well, let's back up to 17. And He came and preached peace to you. This is Paul speaking in Ephesians to the division between Jew and Gentile, the church at Ephesus. And He came and preached peace to you who were far away, the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, the Jews. For through Him we both have had our access, introduction in one spirit to the Father. Getting an idea what it is? Then look at chapter 3, verse 12. Now let's back up to 11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. What was the purpose? It was an eternal purpose. In whom we have boldness and confident access through Him, through faith in Him. This word describes one who is introduced into the presence of a higher authority. That's what this introduction is. In Jesus Christ, in Him, we have our access, our introduction into a higher authority. We just can't go to Washington, D.C. and go running into the White House, into the presence of President Biden. And no political jokes here. We can't do that. We have to have an introduction. We have to go through mediators. We have to go through other people. To be introduced into His presence. You can't just go running into the presence of God. Couldn't do it in the Old Testament, could you? One man, one time a year, after cleansing and sacrifice for himself through blood, he'd go in with that blood into the presence of God. People today think they can just run into the presence of God anytime they want to. John tells us that God does not hear the prayers of sinners. By grace, being placed in Christ through faith, seeing who Jesus Christ is, who we are now in Him, we now have access into the presence of the throne of grace of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We not only have peace, we have access, introduction into the realm of grace. This free, saving, merciful, justifying grace and favor with God. And we can never leave it. We have access, we have introduction into which we now stand. We stand this morning in grace. We start by grace. We stand by grace. And we will finish by grace. Let's stand. Father, we stand amazed in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access. Not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of who He is. Lord, our prayer this morning would be that You would remind every Christian here once again who Christ is and who they are in Him. That You remind us of peace, the peace that is ours, that You're not mad. You could never be mad at those who are in Christ any more than you could be mad at your son. We thank You for the work of the Holy Spirit that has revealed to us that peace and the forgiveness that's ours. And Lord, if there be one here this morning who's yet to know that peace, real peace, we pray, Lord, that You may speak to that heart. You may enable them to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I admit that I am weaker and more sinful than I ever before believed. But through You, I am more loved and accepted than I ever dared hope. I thank You for paying my debt, bearing my punishment, offering me forgiveness. I turn from my sin and receive You. Just like an empty bucket that receives water, I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. Amen and amen.